The Alaska Department of Fish and Game calls on citizen scientists to monitor bats. And a new poll highlights feelings on the Juno Access Project. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories are up next. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is calling on Southeast residents to help gather information on local bat populations. Each year, the department asks citizen scientists to conduct driving surveys and gather bat calls.
So as you're driving along the transect, you'll hear kind of random static noises and you'll be waiting like, oh, I wonder if that was a bat.
That's Fish and Game wildlife biologist Tori Rhodes.
But when you hear this clicking sound, it is so distinctive. It is like nothing else, and you will know immediately, oh, that was a bat. And the silverhair bat calls sound completely different than the Myotis calls. They're this melodic kind of alien sound that's much slower, it's more musical, it's a really, really beautiful call.
The Bat Monitoring Program operates in 7 different communities. Bat research in the state stems back to the discovery of a disease.
The reason that bat research really revved up, not only in Alaska, but across the U.S., was back in 2006, there was the discovery of a disease called white nose syndrome that we think has been introduced from Europe or Asia, where the disease is native and the bats there are used to it. And once it arrived in North America, it decimated bat populations.
Before that, Rhodes says not a lot was known about bats, particularly those in Alaska.
We didn't really have a good handle on what population numbers were, what species there were, where they were, what kind of habitats they were associated with, and specifically in regards to the concern from white nose syndrome, where our bats were overwintering or hibernating.
So they launched research programs.
We went out and we tagged a bunch of bats and we were trying to figure out where they were overwintering, and we started a stationary passive monitor program where we just peppered the entire Southeast with devices that will record bat calls. And then in conjunction with that, in 2014, we started a driving survey program. That's this community-based citizen science effort to collect data.
In Haines, there are a couple different ways Fish and Game is monitoring bats.
We have a passive monitor that we've gotten data on since, I think, 2014 out in Clequan. And in conjunction with that, we do these driving surveys, which is the citizen science program where we have local coordinators.
The local coordinator in Haines is Zephyr Sincerny.
We'll go through an orientation of the bat driving survey kit. Basically, you go out, take that kit, you start the route, and you're driving at 20 miles an hour and detecting bat calls as you go. Once you've done that, you bring the kit back to the library here, and I get that data sent off to Tori with Fish and Game.
And from this, we're able to get really meaningful data about the number of bats that are in the area, as well as kind of a broader swath of the habitats that they inhabit.
That data ties back to concerns about white nose.
First and foremost, we really want to get baseline data on the species that we have and also monitor their populations over time. We are concerned about white nose coming to Alaska. It was picked up in Washington State not too long ago, which was sent us on a red alert for revamping our efforts and monitoring and detection.
So why citizen science? Rhodes says it's a really efficient way to do this kind of research.
It would be completely logistically impossible for us to go out to all these different communities and conduct driving surveys, especially when we kind of want them all in the same time frame. We don't have the personnel to do it. We don't have the time available to us.
And it helps grow scientific understanding within communities.
And the other really wonderful thing about citizen science-based programs is they really enhance the public understanding of science, which I think is an immensely valuable thing in terms of education and outreach.
For more information on participating in the monitoring program, visit the Haines Public Library or adfg.alaska.gov. In Haines, I'm Abby Collins. A newly published poll found more than half of Juno respondents support the stalled Juno Access Project. The group that helped finance the survey says it shows public opinion is shifting in favor of building the road. KTOO's Jacob Resnick reports.
The McDowell Group poll found 54% said they support extending Juno's road north to the Katsahin River, where a ferry would connect to Skagway. 39% said they were opposed to the plan, known as Juno Access Project. The survey was jointly financed by the City and Borough of Juneau and First Things First Alaska Foundation, a pro-development group. Pollsters asked 402 people on landlines and cell phones their positions on transportation issues over a single week in January. Executive Director Denny DeWitt, who also lobbies for small business groups and AAA, said the results released Thursday should be instructive to political leaders.
This is the best data set we've ever had, and I think that it's something that ought to be looked at and thought about very seriously by those folks who are trying to represent all the people in Juneau.
The road project has been perennially divisive within Juneau and is also more widely opposed in Skagway and Haines. The Juneau Assembly's $20,000 appropriation for the survey was approved on a 63 vote late last year. The vote was along the same lines of a controversial resolution in support of the road. DeWitt brushed off opposition. He said the data speaks for itself.
I don't have a great need to have 100% support before we move ahead in our community.
But a road project isn't going to happen anytime soon. Governor Bill Walker polled his administration's support for the project in 2016. Earlier this week, a House budget amendment proposed keeping the $21 million budgeted toward the project locked in state coffers. Juneau's House delegation's two votes in opposition were critical to its failure. Here's Representative Sam Keto III, a Democrat, speaking Monday on the House floor. He noted the project isn't in the state's transportation plan.
And putting $21 million back into an account that cannot be expended until the project is in our statewide transportation improvement program, until the project is moving forward and under construction, that money will be sitting there waiting and not spent.
Reached Thursday, Keto reiterated he's skeptical that the road project, as designed, makes sense.
If we had a much larger population in Juneau or in Whitehorse, spending $1 billion on a highway project to connect it might make sense. But this project doesn't actually even connect the two communities or the two regions. It actually ends up in a ferry terminal at the end of a road that's going to require a significant amount of support services.
Fellow Juneau Democrat Justin Parrish said Monday that the House couldn't afford to lock away the money when it had pressing spending needs this year. He also voted no.
Ultimately, I do remain supportive of the Juneau Access Project. However, if it comes with a risk of derailing timely funding for Medicaid, if it comes at a risk of derailing timely funding for the Alaska Marine Highway, I cannot support it at this time.
The amendment failed 19-20. Back to the poll. Of those opposed to the Juneau Access Project, about 26% said they'd be more likely to support it if the road went to Skagway. DeWitt said the poll shows the road is finding favor in the capital city.
It certainly demonstrates that there's better than a majority of citizens here in Juneau who want the road to go to Katsahin. It's very clear from the data. Also clear from the data is that if it were to go all the way, and it will ultimately, to Skagway, the numbers would probably be north of 60%.
About 54% said the current state ferry service is adequate for Juneau, and nearly 80% supported a second crossing over Gastineau Channel to connect the Mendenhall Valley with North Douglas Island. In Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. Have a great weekend.